News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage.
In association with AIR.
There's a lot of discussion, always, there's a lot of sort of assumed understanding of the Irish role in peacekeeping in Lebanon and our long history in Lebanon. That, of course, has come front and centre given the conflict in the Middle East. But there probably isn't as deep an understanding of what the Irish troops actually do and what level of risk they're currently at, given how unsettled things are in the region. With us is Commandant Alex Quigley, who is Defence Forces Press Officer. Alex, you're very welcome.
Good morning.
Give us a sense of the Irish day-to-day role. We talk about peacekeeping. What does that actually mean?
Yeah, well, I mean, the day-to-day role of our army personnel deployed to UNIFIL is one of monitoring and observing, acting as kind of the eyes and ears of the international community in South Lebanon. So that would involve anything from patrols to liaising with the locals in southern Lebanon that we have a very long history with. And I suppose I'm providing that monitoring for as I was saying, very importantly, the international community.
Just do me a favour, sit in slightly on that microphone if you would, Alex. Now, what does that mean then when things begin to heat up as they are? How has the situation changed over the last 2 weeks for your people on the ground?
Yeah, I was only speaking to Defence Forces Headquarters operational staff this morning, and the situation is volatile. There is kinetic activity, increased kinetic activity. But for our personnel...
Does that mean they're getting shot at?
Well, there is, as I said, increased connectivity. The Ghanaian battalion beside us, you know, received fire that we were able to assist on Friday with a medical evacuation. So there is risk in the region. But what I would say is that the force protection measures that our battalion employ can be scaled up and down to reach any of the kinetic activity that is rising.
And where do you see, when you look at the threat assessment currently, what do you predict? When you do worst case scenario, what does it look like?
Well, I mean, our Irish Military Intelligence Service, I was only speaking to them yesterday evening, they are monitoring the situation. So they provide a wider situational awareness to the battalion and support them overseas. So what we are doing, our job doesn't really change, and we're there for a reason. We just continue to do our monitoring and observing any of the infractions of the cessation of hostilities.
But presumably there comes a point where if you see military infractions, are you faced with the choice of direct engagement? How do you decide what is the point where you turn and leave, and what is the point where you engage?
Well, the Defence Forces are resolute in their commitment to the mandate. So the withdrawal is a question for UNIFIL and the United Nations. As it stands now, our Irish personnel are deployed to southern Lebanon, and they have a role there. They're there for a reason. And so that our response is to continue with the mandate.
And how do the guys and girls feel about what's happened in recent days? Because obviously when you get deployed to Lebanon, there are implicit risks and there is a difficult job to be done. But that has changed radically from what they might have signed up for on deployment.
Again, you know, every single person when you join the Defence Forces, you know, deployment overseas is what we think of, is what we want to do. So I was only speaking to the battalion this morning. Morale is high. The Lieutenant Colonel Lennon has received a letter from the Ghanaian battalion commander thanking them for their efforts on Friday in the medical evacuation of that Ghanaian wounded soldier. So our personnel are there, they're doing their job, and we're doing what we're trained to do. So morale remains high.
How many personnel are currently there?
There's 358.
And across what range of military membership and what range of skills?
Well, if you can imagine, the camp over in Lebanon is almost like a mini town. So it has everything from a water supply to all the ancillaries, a cookhouse, everything inside it. And then layered on top of that is the military action of such of like our A company, who are primarily our maneuver company. So there is a massive range of skilled personnel over in Lebanon.
What about equipment? What do you have out there? Is it mainly infantry, or do you have cavalry support?
Yeah, so there's a mix of both infantry, cavalry and artillery out in Lebanon. And then we have all of the support staff that goes underneath that.
What about the families? For the 300 odd troops that are out there, how much contact can they have with their families back home, and how concerned are their families back home?
So the camp does have Wi-Fi, so they can remain in contact with their families when the situation allows. We also have family liaison officers that the families can contact if they need updates. And then myself, to the Defence Forces Press Office, will release updates on social media. What I'd say to the families is that now is the time to have faith in your loved ones that are deployed overseas. Their training and preparation that they do from the day they join the Defence Forces to the overseas training that our army personnel go through to prepare them. Now is the time to have faith in them.
What's the level of risk to them currently?
I mean, the level of risk changes every day. The volatility goes up and down. But the important thing is that our force protection mitigates against that, depending on what the situation.
What about the level of frustration? Because I assume if you go to a region to do peacekeeping and then you watch a war break out, even if it is not related to the original peacekeeping mission that you had, does it give a sense of what was the point of all of this?
I don't think so. I mean, we have over 40 years of experience in southern Lebanon. Generations of Irish soldiers have been through it. So only the other day I was in the Joint Induction Training Centre speaking to two recruits who were being interviewed the day that the conflict started, and they were asked would they deploy overseas, and they said they'd be honoured and excited to. So, you know, you don't join the Defence Forces and then get surprised that there's an overseas deployment in the future. That's why we join.
Lastly, how do we do in terms of interoperability and cooperation with other forces? Do the Irish effectively keep to themselves and their mission, or is there a lot of overlap with other UN troops?
Yeah, so our camp is the Irish-Polish battalion. So we have our Polish with us, Maltese with us. And as we saw on Friday, you know, the Ghanaian battalion is only two, 3 kilometres from the camp. So there is a massive intermixed both from a kind of a personnel point of view, but also in a operational sense. All information is shared. The whole force is interconnected.
Alex, thank you very much. That is Commandant Alex Quigley.
News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage. In association with AIR. Weekday mornings at 7. News Talk. Conversation that counts.